For a morning lesson this morning, I want to turn to Isaiah, the 51st chapter, and then move to Isaiah 54 through for about four verses, and then Psalms 119 for a verse. Today we will do some Bible reading, so just prepare your heart for that a little. Not always, but through a section here we will. So the 51st chapter of Isaiah. I want us to focus today on peace, and so that is a good thing. 51st chapter of Isaiah, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, and that is a big part of what peace can bring to a man, ye that follow after righteousness. Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is going forth, and mine arms shall judge the people, and the isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arms shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. And they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. And by that verse towards the end there, I wrote peace. My salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, as in the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the sea and waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the son of man which shall be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hast stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and hast feared continually every day, because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy? And where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exile hasteneth that he may be loose, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. But I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, Thou art my people. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which hast drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. There is none to guide her among all the sons whom she hath brought forth, neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she hath brought up. These two things are come unto thee. Who shall be sorry for thee? Desolation and destruction, and the famine and the sword. By whom shall I comfort thee? Thy sons have fainted, they lie at the head of all the streets as a wild bull in a net. They are full of the fury of the Lord, the rebuke of thy God. Therefore hear now this, thou afflicted and drunken, but not with wine. Thus saith the Lord, thy Lord, the Lord, and thy God, that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. But I will put into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, Bow down, that we may go over, and thou hast laid thy body as the ground, and as the street to them that went over. Isaiah 54, I'm going to read 10 through 13. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted and tossed with a tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and thy foundations with sapphires. And I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncles and all thy borders of pleasant stones. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Psalms 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them.
Brother Tim has asked for the reading of John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we not know whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence.
Good morning. We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. What a blessed opportunity we have throughout our life. As the brother gave us some instruction on our decisions. Interesting concept. I think that is something we do every day as a believer. And we will continue to do so throughout our life. And our decisions, as we read there in Proverbs, the 9th chapter, have a very large impact on the outcome. But it still comes down to our decision. Do we desire wisdom or do we not? Each one of us has to decide that. Interesting concept, and we'll probably touch on that here just shortly. He talked about the wisdom of God taking preparation. That is real. It is not a default setting. I wished it was. Everything we exude out of our life, out of our mouth, our actions, lots of times we have default settings that we would like to bring back and try it again. So true. But without proper preparation, we will continue to go in a direction as we view ourselves, and that's a good opportunity. We need to view ourselves quickly as we live life and decide whether or not that works in God's plan, not in my plan. Do we want to be a better person? Do we love instruction? Or would we just as soon have pleasure? It's a decision we have. It's a beautiful thing. And whatever we engage in, I just wrote down some of my own thoughts. It can either be of great value or have eternal loss. Thank you, brother, for the opening. I wanted to go back through John 14 here just a little bit. Really touches on this whole thing about decisions. The very first verse says, "Let not your heart be troubled." What I want to talk about today is peace, living in peace, having peace. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe also in God. Believe also in me." And then it's not very long till Jesus says here in the 7th verse, "If ye had known me," if you had, he said, "if ye had known me," that would be a pretty hard thing to take. If God came into our lives and said, "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also." But he says, "And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." That's a blessing. Verse 12 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also." We're going to have to make a decision about that. Jesus said, "The works that I do, ye shall do also." If you went to verse 20, Jesus is talking about how he is in the Father. And he said, "Because I live, ye shall live also," towards the end of that verse. The 23rd verse says, talking about Jesus and the Father God, says, "We will love him and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." That is our decision. Peace, the 27th verse says, I leave with you my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Isn't that interesting how that works? It's not that woman saying, just turn in here, I haven't prepared, but what I have for you, it's just pleasure and you'll have enjoyment, and but in there are the dead. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If you read on down through there, I'm interested clear to the 31st verse, but I want to just touch on the very end. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment. Beautiful thing. Even so I do. And we say, as a people, we are Christians. And if we would just take that little bit of scripture there, and even so I do. We are a follower of Jesus Christ. That's what that word means. I am a Christian. And you are basically making a statement that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. As the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise. We've got to get started. Let us go hence. We are continuing on a path. We have decisions to make. I want to sing 420. Just, I want us to consider that. And in the second verse, in the second stanza here, it says, and days have offered peace. And we get to make that decision of which way we want to go. As flows the rapid river, with channel broad and free, its waters rippling ever and hasting to the seas. Thank you for the beautiful melody and singing. As this hymn just indicates, we have a decision always before us. I just wish it could be done. I could make that decision and it was complete. Jesus Christ was complete in me just with one decision. It's not that way. God puts before us the opportunity and we continue to live it out. It's called faith and faithfulness. And only a righteous man will attain it. It's a beautiful thing. It can become so difficult. As we think about living in peace, some of you may have heard a little portion of this, and it might be different. I don't know. You will glean, hopefully, something through it. You can pray for me, and you can pray for yourselves that you will learn and discern and understand. Sometimes it can become quite challenging. But I think, as I have learned throughout life, as I pay more attention, it becomes a little more real. I'll get more when I pay attention. And that's a good thing. We are interested in men and women of God. I have talked a few times on living in, and peace is one of them. But somehow God wants His people to be equipped. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the 17th verse says that the man of God, the man and woman of God, I will just put it there, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If you got into Isaiah 26, I want to read you the 3rd verse, and then I'll read 1 through 4. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. There is a decision there, because he trusteth in thee. Decisions. We can ignore them if we want to. That's another amazing thing in a man, is the will. We have choice. I talked to a brother yesterday about, he wanted to know what I was talking about. He's not here probably, and he's not listening. And I told him. And he's like, how do you know? And so I just asked back, so how do you know? He said, no, I'm asking the questions and you're answering them. I said, well, it feels like I need to ask the questions and you could answer them and enlighten me. God's way in our life is vast. It's large. And I want us to understand that as a man follows after righteousness, there could be several things that speak into your peace. And they can be right for me and they can be right for you, as long as they follow God's plans. I want to talk about, let's read Isaiah 26, 1 through 4. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. The first verse says, salvation will God appoint, and righteousness will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. That's an interesting thing as we think about walls and bulwarks of God. And I had to get and dig into that a little bit to find out what that really meant. In Jesus Christ, I finally determined there are walls, and he has boundaries. That's what I thought about when I thought about a wall. If I am a Christian man, there are boundaries that God has set up. And it's a decision, as we heard again. And bulwarks, it says. You know what a bulwark is? It's an area inside that wall. It's called strengthened areas. Places we can go and things we can do. Bulwarks. And what does that accomplish as we think about peace? I just know in there, in those areas, inside that thing, what Jesus Christ sets out for Christian men and women to do, I know it brings peace. And you do also. If you really sat down and examined it, you know that too. Inside the boundaries of Jesus Christ, there is peace. And I like that. Psalms 84. I'll just touch on a few verses. And it talks about the blessed. And it just says, how amiable or how easy are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth. Blessed are they that dwell in the house, in thy house, verse 4. They will still be praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them. Talks about having trials, passing through the valleys. For a day, verse 10, in thy courts is better than a thousand. One day, inside the walls and the bulwarks of God, is better than a thousand days outside of it. And I don't know how long our life is. I'm with my brother. I don't know. But I do know if I die in peace with the Lord, just contemplate that. And what you know about that. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. Let's read the rest of verse 10. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. It's peaceful there. And I know it is. It's just not always peaceful, is it? There's too much life out there. There's too many complications. There's too many trials. And eventually I told somebody there might be just too many people. And I'm one of those. I'm a person. I can bring trial and trouble and tribulation into wherever. Lives, situations. Let's be careful. I want to talk about peace, and I'll just do it in an acronym form. I want to talk about the purpose of peace, as the P, the experience or expectations of peace, the actions of peace, commitment, and eternal value. So let's talk about purpose. What is purpose? The purpose of peace, I think, is to bring us, if we experience peace very much in our life, and then we discover the opposite of that and experience the opposite of peace, two different things, we will begin to understand the peace of God is real. It has value. And it's God's. I can't make it up on my own. You can't either. God's peace. And I wrote down here, which parallels what we heard this morning, is not the confusion that is prevailing in this world. It is confusing. Sometimes. And very complicated. Are you interested in having the peace of God? I thought this week, as I thought about this, and I thought again, and many times in the middle of the night as I woke up, and I thought, well, that's probably what I'm going to be talking about. This verse in John 14 just kept coming back and back, and I don't know how many times it came back. Peace I leave with you, my peace. I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That thing just kept running back through, and I wasn't even planning on reading it. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. That is the purpose. God provides a peace. And we have, as we look into our emotions and our feelings, we don't even have the ability to comprehend on our own what that looks like. God's peace passes that. Isaiah 52:7 says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings." Has that ever been a desire in your life? Think about the good tidings. It says they're beautiful. What is a good tiding? And I wonder sometimes about my interactions with other people and my shortness and my sharpness and all those things. And as I go through life, all of a sudden I'll just kind of grumpily say something. Is that peaceful? Our tidings go way beyond just the new gospel message that we want to declare to others. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. To publish peace. Arise, let us go hence. Let us get after this thing. Let us do these things. Publish peace. Everywhere. It don't matter who I'm, if I'm interacting with Ken, or I might do it a little better there, because I want to portray a good image. But we publish peace or not, everywhere. It don't matter if it's to my own children. I'm real familiar with my family, and you are too. I just find it so interesting and how the peace is not really published and the good tidings are not really felt. There's a purpose. God has a purpose for peace. What is peace? What is the purpose? So I wrote down a definition out of Noah Webster, and there's about five. And as we get to the end, I want us to consider what is said there. Number one definition, that which a person sets before himself as an object to be reached or accomplished. Does that speak of a decision? That what I set before myself to accomplish. Something's going to have to be done about that. The second one was my intention or my design, like I pre-planned that thing. What is my intention with it? What's the purpose and what is the design? Number three, there's an end, there's effect, and there's consequences. Beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of published peace. Those are consequences, peaceful or not peaceful, or is good or bad, and it still goes right back to that decision. In there, number four says there's an instance and an example. There is a showing forth and there is a doing. There is an example of what we're trying to accomplish. That's real. Now, number five says, of purpose, on purpose. I like that. On purpose. Did that on purpose. Wanted to bring peace on purpose. And it says that if you split those two things out, of purpose, on purpose, it says on purpose is the one that is more generally used. It has previous design with a mind directed toward that object. But it says what really should be said, but the true phrase of it is of purpose. We purposed. And it happened on purpose, but it's of our purpose that that happens. God, I think, puts into the heart of man and woman, all people, a longing for peace. I think that's why it's talked about so much. As we go through lands and places and we're like, man, if those people had peace, wouldn't that be neat? No, it would be flat, incredible and amazing. If I had peace, just boil that right back down. Wouldn't that be neat? No. It would be incredible and amazing. If that was my desire and my purpose, my of purpose, was to publish that. Actions, it just all goes together. Now, let's talk about the experience and the expectation. For a person to have peace, that person has to be individually, real true peace has to be individually born of God. You have to take that upon yourself. Let's turn to some scriptures. We'll start at Psalms 120. And just read a few verses, 6 and 7. And this is, I'm just going to do this through here, just on the experience and the expectations, and just let God's word speak into our heart. My soul, 6 and 7 of 120, hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace. But when I speak, they are for war. What do you make of that? Now, let's turn to Matthew, the 5th chapter, and we'll go to Luke 5 and 9, Matthew 5, 5 through 9. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the publishers and the people that have purpose, and it's of their purpose, for they shall be called the children of God. Luke, the first chapter of Luke, the 79th verse, and there is much more. You can read a lot of these scriptures before and after and gain a lot. Luke 1:79, to give light to them, that's an expectation, that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. It's God's plan. That's really His expectation, is to give us light and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Romans, the 5th chapter, the very first verse. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not too difficult. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn a couple pages maybe, Romans 8 and 6. Talks again about a decision, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Is life and peace. It's light. It's illuminated. Life is illuminated. You cannot have life without illumination. Darkness is death. Light and life is what we are interested in. Okay, let's go to Romans 12:18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You're going to have to let the Bible talk to you. I have to let the Word of God speak into my heart. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That's what was beautiful about that conversation. We was trying to decide who was asking the questions and who was getting the advice. And finally, we concluded that if we turn to the Word of God, we can all have it. Nice. Beautiful. We can have advice. We can make the right decisions. We can ask questions. They will be answered. What God has done for us is a miracle. Just is. Okay, 14. Let's go to Romans 14:17-19. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Galatians, I'll just read these and I won't comment too much. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Hebrews 12:14. Just kind of chronologically going through these. Just keep turning your way back through your Bible. Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. James 3:17-18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. We talked about that as we got started. Righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The third chapter of John, verse 11, says, Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth God good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. If you are not a peacemaker, you decide. It's a decision. Follow after peace. Let's go into actions as we work through the acronym. And we know, and it was alluded to, if not flat outright said, that there is a lot of conflict and turmoil in the world. And if I'm real about it, there is sometimes a lot of conflict and turmoil in all kinds of areas of my life. And I don't like those. There can be conflict in our mind. There can be turmoil in our heart. And desires and strife, we can live that out. I talked about our actions and our treatment of others. The actions of peace. I think that'd be a good thing. We really do have to kind of just step back from ourselves and say, whoa, hang on there a minute, let's look. It would be nice if I could just remove myself from myself and stand off here and listen to myself. Wouldn't that be kind of interesting? What would you decide? Because here you are looking at another person, which is really you, and you're listening to yourself do these things. What do you think that looks like? Our actions. And as I told somebody, I don't want us to be living in condemnation of ourselves and just beating ourselves up, and we can do that, and that's might be have some good. But acknowledge within yourself that you have lived in the past and what you have done in the past, and you might need to fix and clean that up. But the future, what does the future look like? What do you think your impact can be in the future? Lots of times I don't like the past. And so if that wasn't that enjoyable and that peaceful, what about tomorrow? What about the future? What are you going to decide to do with that? That's actions. As long as we have life, we will have actions. And lots of times I think about that as I've thought many times, we are God's people. And that's just that's fun to say. I'm a man of God, or I'm a woman of God, and I'm God's people. And I'll just put that into a question form. With a question mark after it. And as a group, I would say, yeah, that's probably right. A lot of people that join together, because there is a lot of righteousness that flows out of your life. That's good, and that's edifying, and it's a beautiful thing. But I have to boil it down to, am I God's person? And is that my desire? Is that my decision? And what does that look like? There is I don't know how much of Scripture, and you can maybe decide that for yourself, that there has to be, it says, Jesus, if you went back into the John 14, it says he was going to send another comforter. But then he says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. And that is the Holy Spirit. It's direction. It's good. And so then what happens when we get into Matthew, the 7th chapter, and start reading through there. And starts talking about the fruits of the Spirit. I like the fruit of the Spirit. All tied into multiple fruits. It's just one thing. And peace is with it. And it just looks like individuals have that, they have all those things. Isn't that nice? What if I have this hatred and all these other things that the brother talked about? I came across some information that said, well, if you just have anger, say you just have anger, and you decided not to bring that back into context with what God has in mind for us, and you just let that run for a little bit, he said, did you know that all those things and malice and all those things that the brother talked about and many more, anger doesn't stay by itself very long. It has companions. And pretty soon you'll be having other things. I'm not interested. But when I think about the fruit of the Spirit and peace and love and joy, I'm pretty interested. I want us to take responsibility. By our fruits, by my fruit, I shall be known. Just be responsible. Start to understand it. We can rob. We can steal and kill and destroy, and we may have not thought we even did that. But we did. We might need to acknowledge that. We also might need to take that into our lives and not be. Maybe that is not what was meant by what somebody said. Maybe the conversation I had with some of Kenny or any of these brethren, maybe that wasn't exactly. Do we have enough grace to accept that? I've noticed in life lots of times as I go through life, what I said is not what is heard. Have you ever noticed that if you was married in your own life or you had a really close friend? What you said was not what was taken. I am responsible for what I say, but I'm also responsible to discern that maybe, just maybe, it wasn't like that. Is that okay? So just a question as we finish up on our action. Am I God's person? Are we God's people? Is there a living example? Is that really happening? And then just as I end, I just thought, as I contemplated that truth can never be compromised for peace. That might make it very hard and very difficult. Truth can never be compromised anywhere for anything. It don't work. It might bring a short spell of peace. I think sometimes we just need to speak up. And we talked about that yesterday too. And I came to a new light on some of my own thinking even. That's what's beautiful about the Word of God and brethren or Christians, iron sharpening iron. You can get going in a direction and sure enough, well, what about this? Well, I'm living in my world. I never got that far out there. Yeah, what about that? Truth can never be compromised for peace. I'll just leave it right there. Commitment. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. The first chapter. The 12th verse says, and then I want to really come back as I think about my commitment, taking in the need for the action we talked about. The 12th verse says, in 2 Timothy 1, the 12th verse says, need to go back there. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Commitment. Let's read verses 3 through 10. And this is just the instruction of the Apostle Paul. It says, I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, and I just wondered what if the Apostle Paul, when he said, greatly desiring to see thee, if he just didn't want to see what was going on in that brother's life. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, I just think he was probably wanting to see that. Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance. This is talking about his commitment and his action, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us so that we can make decisions. Called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And here is probably the verse that I just really like. If I take this personally, after the Apostle Paul was greatly desiring to see, and when he called to remembrance the unfeigned faith, he said that was in the man. And he said, but is now made manifest. And I wonder if he just wasn't talking about the manifestation of the faith and the grace of God that was bestowed upon Timothy. He said, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to put in you. That's not what it says. But the manifestation of the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Are you willing to be committed there? I'll just leave that there. There's a portion right there that said power of love and of a sound mind. And I just deciphered that out with strength and compassion and clear thinking. And we talked about the things that just are joined up and close to or married to and are of one fruit of the peace and just the desire in a man's heart to be there. I want us to consider that, and that we do want to be committed. I want to be committed to those things. And then we will have to acknowledge that these things are really lived out. There's one thing about commitment, but if it's not transpiring, then it's really not working. Living out the commitment we have to peace. So I want us to consider there are things that are together. And if we turn our Bible to the 85th Psalm, and I'll just read you one verse out of there and just think about the things that are together. The 10th verse says, mercy and truth are met together. righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Those things are together. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Proverbs 9, we read, as the brother read that, he talked about length of days, sure enough. In Proverbs 3, if you would turn back there to the second verse, says, and I think of things as I think of righteousness and peace kissing each other. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:2, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add. It goes together. Now, I don't think probably that means we know the end of our days. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. And you could go back into Proverbs and maybe we will. Proverbs, the third chapter. I just want to read the first verse. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And we can go clear back to the beginning. Walls and bulwarks. God's plan. Romans 1:7 says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. See how those things go together? Beloved of God, called to be saints, God has grace extended to you and peace from Him. And the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to read that again. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. In believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. There is a decision and some commitment to all those things. Because we have a strong desire to abound in hope. And we want the power of the Holy Ghost to be working through us. Do you? Do I? That's the great thing about the decision-making process. If we let God have His way in our life and the power of the Holy Spirit continually working out in a believer's life, there is an abounding. And there is joy and there is peace. And let's not ignore. Just for our own pleasure, I guess, or whatever, the things that make for peace. So am I really committed? I want to read 1 Peter 1 and 2, about three different portions of Scripture. 1 Peter 1. The second verse, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And this is talking about you, and it's talking about me. And Peter's saying, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he's talking to others. And we can do that same thing. And this is what he says about maybe himself. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And then he starts talking to others. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. There was decisions and actions in his life And he just expressed those and how that was accomplished. That is a beautiful thing. Let's turn to Jude. Just for a verse again. Jude, the second verse. Let's read the first verse and the second. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of Jesus, and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. He's putting himself with a whole group of people. It says, I am the servant of Jesus Christ, and with you are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. And I'm saying he's called to the fruit of the Spirit. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. He's not only interested in it just being in there, he's interested in it being multiplied. It don't take very long with an equation. Just keep adding a bigger number to it, or maybe in your length of days, just think. So if I took today and publish peace, that's good. Now, if I had another 365 days, which is 1 year, and publish peace every day there, it says, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. That can be real in believers. To want that and have a desire of that, and the multiplication process to become a reality. I like the thought. And I think others would enjoy the action that would proceed from that. That is what God has intended, really, in believers, as multiplication. And he wants that to be lived out in righteousness. And I don't think it probably matters if somebody looks back over your life. They can. I think you are a witness of what God has done, and that would be good too. But people's going to say, wow, that's a faithful individual, isn't it? He's interested in multiplication. And I think we should be. Romans, let's turn to Romans, the second chapter. The 10th verse. If we went to the 9th, and we won't. Talked about the decisions we heard about this morning. But we're interested in faith and righteousness lived out, but glory, honor, and peace. Romans 2:10. To every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and to the Gentile. Did you see how it says glory and honor and peace? It just lumped all that stuff together. It works together. God's plan works in multiple facets, in multiple ways, and he's interested in that. And I hope we are too. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. As I look at my heart and my desires and all those things, it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. It becomes difficult and complicated sometimes. Maybe even a little strange. But it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, in Jesus Christ. We are very common there. We are all called into the body of Jesus Christ. And then it says, and be ye thankful. And let the peace of God rule. Rule. He set up these things. And it's not with whips and pushing and shoving and trying to get you over here so you understand it. That's not God's rule. It's first, it's peaceful and gentle. Easy to be entreated. That's the rule. The rule of peace. And be thankful. As we come to the end, we want to look at eternal value. I'm just somehow always interested in eternal value. And I don't probably fully understand it. As I get older, I think I might. Because there is coming a time, and the Bible lays it out, we're all going to sleep, pass away, leave this earthly body, and then there is eternity. And I like the rule. But as I think about eternal value, we are a physical people preparing for an eternal life. Eternal life. It says our years here are as but a vapor. Short. That made no sense to me. Absolutely no sense to me at 12 to 20. It's just like, really? It's true. Are but a vapor. And we are preparing for the eternal. We read there in Matthew 5:9, it said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." And the return of Jesus Christ is close. I don't know how close. They're saying maybe tomorrow. I don't doubt it. Probably could be before that for some of us. I'm not sure. Could be tomorrow for some of us too. Or maybe all of us. Could be today. Maybe tomorrow. I don't know. We had that discussion at home. I had to tell my youngest son that I even Jesus doesn't know the time or the day or the hour. God only knows that. But we know it's coming. And I'm interested in thinking about, and we had a brief experience, life is short. It really is. We could be snuffed out in a moment. And that's real. And when you experience it, you're like, yep, that's real. And I think you'll experience it. I really do. And especially as people grow older, and as we are doing that very thing, I like to ask the question, what was it like? Because probably I'm interested in what it's going to be like for me. And sometimes people say, well, they seem anxious. And so then I ask again, as maybe after it even happened. And I've done this several times. Well, so could you tell me what it was like as you sat there and witnessed the last breath of a dying individual? I've done that. I've seen that. Not the exact last breath, but it wasn't long. And finally, we understand as human beings that yes, we've been faithful. And there is a promise and an expectation and a hope, and it can be real. I've heard many times people say, it was very peaceful. And I'm hoping it can be for each one of us. Because there is, I don't think the adversary of our soul ever quits. I don't care where you're at. I'm just convinced of that. There's anxiousness. He loves to portray all those things. And maybe you aren't. Maybe you haven't been peaceful enough. Can you hear all that? Yeah, but by the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace and His mercy and my commitment, that's not true. Renounce the devil. Because he will try to condemn the outward man. I'm just convinced of that to your last breath. I wanted to turn to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. As we consider this, the 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians, we could start just about the, even in the 4th verse, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto him. I want to go skip down to 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. If you skip down to the 18th verse, it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Praise the Lord. I want to read a very familiar psalm, the 23rd psalm. I just want to read verses 4-6, just in God's promise to his people and thinking about eternity and really what that looks like. Maybe from 12 to 20, I'm just saying that's my time of comprehension. I would have never considered that. But at 54 and 55, I'm starting to consider it quite a bit more. And I think as the time moves, I've been thinking about, you know, in 15 years, I'll be 70, and If the Lord waits that long or has me live that long, and pretty soon, eternity's going to be upon us. And I think you brethren and sisters know what I'm talking about. Or if it's longer than that, it's coming. Eternal value and God's promise. And just the condemnation of the devil and the peace that can be had even though he condemns the outward man. And your outward man is perishing, yet your inward man can be renewed day by day and have peace. Psalms 23, and you can probably just sit and listen. Verses 4-6. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Let your thoughts be anointed. Maybe what's that saying? My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Very, very, very peaceful. And it's a promise to his people. It's just not like some far out thing that can't be attained. God says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, but as I give. John 16:33, that these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace, in the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Never accept what the adversary of your soul pushes on you. There is a better way, a way better way in the Lord Jesus. Romans 15:13, and I'll take my seat. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost.